Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This is the end of my third week of teaching on David. I have this brand new book entitled Lessons from David. I have a new expanded teaching on DVD and CDs about David, and I tell you, we have just covered a lot of material. I encourage you to please get these products because you're going to learn these lessons as you go through life. It'd be a lot easier to learn it at somebody else's expense rather than you make all of these mistakes yourself. And so we've already covered a lot of material. We're right now up to the very end of 1 Samuel. David comes on the scene in 1 Samuel 16, and yesterday I was teaching from 1 Samuel chapter 30 about where David's city was overrun. Everything they had, their houses were burned, all of their goods were taken, their wives and children were taken, and then the men spoke of stoning David, and yesterday I was talking about how David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 that says, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That means that it's everybody has the same type of stuff. It's just a different wrapper, a different package, you know, wrapping on it, a different bow, but it's the same content. Satan doesn't have all these different things. All of us experience bad things. So it says, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And so the scripture right there says there is not a single person watching this program that is enduring something that is more than you can bear. I know some of you are thinking, that's not true. You don't know my situation. I know the Word of God, and God promised He would not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. When it seems like you can't stand another minute, stand 2 minutes. And if nothing else, 1 Corinthians 10, 13 will kick in on your behalf. And when you really do hit your limits, God is going to make some way to escape so that you'll be able to survive and come through this thing. David was in that situation, and if he would have given in to his hurt and pain and just given up hope, he would have been only hours away from what he had been patiently waiting for 13 years. I'm telling you, there are some of you that are thinking, it's over, I just got to quit. But you could just be moments away from seeing the breakthrough that you've been looking for. You know, with Joseph, he was in prison, and for 17 years, or no, it would have been the same thing, 13 years with Joseph, he had been sold into slavery. He had been lied about that he tried to rape the master's wife. He was put into prison. Just everything that happened to Joseph, it was just worse, getting worse all of the time. But eventually, he was called, and I mean in 1 hour's time, his whole life turned around, and he went from the pit to the palace. He went from the prison to where he was ruling over the land, and it all happened in less than 1 hour's time. What would have happened if he would have quit just 24 hours before? It's the same thing with you. Just like David, you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord and stand on that promise that He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but He's going to provide a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. This is God speaking to some of you today, trying to encourage you. Encourage yourself. This may be why you've turned on the television program, is just looking for some encouragement. And this is the Holy Spirit speaking through me and telling you to hold on. Hold on. Tie a knot in the end of the rope. Hold on, amen. Don't quit. Don't give up. God is going to come through, and you have to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. And of course, the rest of this story goes on that David and his men, after he got encouraged in the Lord, he took leadership and these people submitted unto him. And he started pursuing the Amalekites, and they caught the Amalekites off guard. They completely destroyed the Amalekites. They got back every woman, every child, all of their livestock. They didn't lose a single life. God blessed them, and in just hours, they were back on top, and God had prospered them. And of course, as the story goes on, in the 31st chapter of 1 Samuel, Saul and his sons went out and fought the Philistines, and they died. So here was David back in Ziklag, and a person escaped from the battle. The Israelites were fighting the Philistines, and he brought news that Saul had been killed and that now David was the one that they were looking for to become king. And so in just a matter of hours after David encouraged himself in the Lord, the opportunity that he had been waiting on for 13 years came to pass. And I'm telling you by the Spirit of the Lord that there are some of you that are contemplating quitting. But you know, it's like Peter said, where else can you go? Who else has the words of everlasting life? You don't have anywhere else to go. You just need to stand and believe God. It's a great thing to have burnt all of your bridges behind you so that there is no place of retreat. You know, I had somebody come up to me one time. I said something about just drive a stake in the ground and don't move. And a guy came up and explained to me that that was an Indian custom. And that what would happen when they were in a situation where they were outmanned and it looked like they were going to be defeated, that the Indians would literally drive a stake in the ground and tie a rope around their foot, and they would make it so that that person could not retreat. They would have to stand and fight and kill as many people, take as many people with them as they possibly could. And that's what that saying came from, about just drive a stake in the ground and stand your ground. And this is what you need to do. You just need to get to a place where David, you know, he encouraged himself in the Lord and didn't quit. And because of it, in a relatively short period of time, his dreams begin to start coming to pass. I'm telling you, if you will stand your ground, drive a stake in the ground and not give up and encourage yourself in the Lord, this could be your breakthrough. When it seems like it's impossible to bear anymore, then you have 1 Corinthians 10:13 kick in and you become a victor by default. Amen. Just because you outlasted the devil. So it goes on that in 2 Samuel, David was crowned king. But here's another great lesson to learn from David. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures, but this is found in the first few chapters of 2 Samuel. That when David became king, he'd been waiting for 13 years. He didn't just become king over all of Israel at one time. It was only the two southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin that made him king. And the northern 10 tribes went with Ish-bosheth, who was Saul's son. And Abner, the general under Saul, he survived the battle and he took Ish-bosheth, Saul's son. It's hard for me to say that, but he took Saul's son and made him king, and he ruled over the 10 northern kingdoms. So it didn't just come to pass automatically or all at once. And this is another thing that I've learned through David and that I've also seen come to pass in my life, and that is that you just don't step into the perfect will of God and the complete vision that He's given you for your life all at once. It's steps and stages. Over in Mark chapter 4, Jesus was teaching a parable about the man who threw seed on the ground, and He said that he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed springs and grows up, he knows not how. And then it said, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. In other words, showing you that there are steps and stages to growth. Now, there's multiple reasons for this, but one of them is that, you know what, most of us have to grow in our ability to handle the influence that God wants to bring to us. If God was just to do everything all at once, it'd overwhelm us. You know, right now, where our ministry stands right now and the impact that we're making and the amount of money that that has to come in for us to pay our television, radio bills, our staff, to build these buildings to do this, if God would have just put this on me 20 or 30 years ago, it would have killed me. I've had to grow into it. I first of all had to believe for this building that I'm sitting in right now with our TV studio. I had to believe for this to be done. That was $3.2 million. And in 14 months, we had that much extra to come in to pay for this debt-free. And that was a stretch of my faith. If I hadn't have done this and if I hadn't have taken that step, I never would have believed for the $32 million extra that came in over the last 3 years to pay for the facility up in Woodland Park. See, it has to come in steps and in stages. And it's the same with all of us. We grow into it. David didn't just become king over all of Israel at once, but he became king over just two tribes, and it was another 7 years before he saw the nation totally united. But here's another thing that you can learn from David, that even at this time, David could have taken his armies and he could have fought against the northern 10 tribes and he could have tried to force this to come to pass. But again, David was consistent with the way he had been ever since God first anointed him. He was letting God defend him. He was letting God promote him. He didn't try and kill Saul when he could have and take the kingdom. And he didn't try and kill Saul's son and take over the kingdom. He just patiently waited. And over a period of time, Ishbosheth, Saul's son, began to lose favor with the people in the north. And actually, Abner, the general that was under Saul originally, and then became Ishbosheth's general, Abner came to David and said, I'll bring the kingdom back to you. I have influence. I can do this. And so David just waited on God, and God supernaturally united the kingdom and brought the entire kingdom together. And the way it was done was not necessarily God's will. It was God's will for the kingdom to come totally under David. But there were men that went in and killed Ishbosheth as he was asleep and brought his head in a basket to David. And you know what? David, even though he wanted the results that these men made happen, David was not pleased with it. And he says, man, you deserve to die because you took a man who was asleep in his own bed and murdered him. And David turned around and had those men executed. And when people heard this, they immediately recognized that David wasn't the one who had Ishbosheth assassinated. And they loved him all the more for it. And so, again, there's so many things that we can learn in here, but one of the things that you can learn is that, you know what, the ends do not justify the means. David wanted the kingdom, the entire kingdom, all 12 tribes to come under his dominion, but he was not into killing Ishbosheth over this. God was already bringing this thing together. They did not have to do it the way it was done. Nonetheless, God used this. The kingdom came under David, but there's a right and a wrong way to accomplish things. So David, in the 5th chapter, was finally anointed king. David, now that he had the entire nation, he went and took the city of Jerusalem, which at that time was still ruled over by the Jebusites. When Joshua conquered the land, he did not subdue everybody. There were pockets of the people in that land that they never conquered. And the Jebusites in Jerusalem were one of them. And so David went up to fight against Jerusalem. He wanted that city. And he said, whoever finds a way into this city to open the gates and to overcome this city, I'm going to make them the general over my army. And so Joab was the guy that took some of his people and he went up. Joab was actually a cousin of David. And he went up and he took the city of David and he became the general. And Joab was an awesome general. You know, I don't have time to go through all the specifics, but Joab did a lot of good things for David. He caused him to conquer and to win every time he turned around. But Joab was ruthless. Matter of fact, Joab killed Abner, the previous general under Saul. He killed him because David was going to make Abner the ruler or the general over all of his armies. So Joab killed him. And then later on, towards the end of his life, David was going to replace Joab because of some of the cruel, terrible things he did. Joab actually killed Absalom, David's son. And David had given specific instructions to everyone not to kill him, but have mercy on him. Well, Joab went against that. And you know what? Joab was probably right. I don't think it would have been healthy to have let Absalom continue to live. He had tried to cause a civil war and split the whole nation and kill his father. It was probably the best thing to execute Absalom. But nonetheless, it was completely against the instructions of David the king. And Joab, he had, you know, he was one of these guys that it's just a bottom line type thing. And if he saw something that needed to be done, he was ruthless. He would kill people. He not only killed Absalom, but he killed Amasa, which was another person that David had put in charge over the armies. Joab killed a number of people, not just in battle, which in a sense is justifiable when you're in a war. You can look at that nearly like self-defense. But I mean, Joab murdered people. He was ruthless. And he was so effective, though, in his military campaigns that, in a sense, David was held hostage. by Joab. Joab was so beneficial to him that David didn't like what he did, and he just basically allowed Joab to go unhindered and without correction. And because of it, at the end of his life, David, he told his son Solomon, he says, when you take over the kingdom, he says, you make sure that you deal with Shimei, and we'll talk about him later. But also, he said, make sure that you don't let Joab come to his death in a natural way. This man deserves to be executed for the terrible, hideous things that he did. And so David never did. He was intimidated by Joab. And he never did really exercise judgment and correction on Joab. He was held hostage because Joab was so beneficial to him. And he actually asked his son to go ahead and make sure that Joab was executed for the terrible things that he's done. To me, this is one of the lessons that I learned from David that's a negative lesson, something I learned what not to do. You know, I've learned that nobody is indispensable. I'm not indispensable. You aren't indispensable. Nobody who works for you or nobody around you is indispensable. And if you see something that you know is wrong and that needs to be corrected, do not be timid. Do not be intimidated. You need to do what needs to be done in order to correct that situation. If you're in a position of leadership, this is one of the things that sets a leader apart from just people that are followers. You have to take responsibility and you have to face up and make hard decisions. You know, I went to a museum over in England and I saw this little box that was called the Enigma Code. And anyway, I won't go into the whole thing, but it was during World War II. They actually found this box, and there was gears inside of it, and you would crank it, and it was a cipher type of thing that the Germans used to, hide all of their messages. And this code would rotate because you could crank it and it would change all of the combinations and stuff. And because of it, the Allies were not able to decipher this Enigma code. And the Germans just basically could communicate with all of their people without us being able to decipher them. Well, anyway, they sunk this submarine and they found one of these Enigma codes. The Germans thought that it went to the bottom of the ocean with it, but Churchill actually had the thing that broke the communications code of the Germans. And they learned through using this Enigma code box, they learned that the Germans were going to bomb Coventry, England, which was an industrial center, and they learned that it could cost, you know, hundreds of thousands of lives. But that was just a week or two. I'm not sure the exact timing, but it was a short period of time before D-Day. And if Churchill would have acted on the information that he had, it would have revealed that they had broken the German codes, and it would have tipped them off and their whole invasion of Normandy and possibly the end of World War II would have been jeopardized. And so Churchill, as a leader, had to make a decision not to alert people, not to evacuate Coventry, England. And as a result, Coventry was nearly bombed into oblivion. You know, I had my offices in Coventry for a long time, and I've been to the cathedral there. They have a new cathedral, but they've got the old one still standing there with the bombed out walls and some things like this. And it was a hard decision because it meant that people were going to die, that Churchill could have saved their life. But he had to make a decision that the invasion of France and the end of World War II would save many more lives, and he had to make a tough, hard decision. See, in a sense, that's just a modern-day application of David here. David needed to make some decisions and deal with this general, Joab, who caused him a lot of trouble. Also, another thing about Joab is that when David committed adultery with Bathsheba over in 2 Samuel chapter 11, he used Joab to kill Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. And you know, this is another thing that you can learn from David is that you don't need people around you that are just yes men and that will help you to get by with adultery and murder. Now, you need people around you that have your heart and that are loyal to you and things like that, but you do not need people that will help you do the wrong thing and just will never, stand up if something is wrong and things like that. This is one of the lessons that I learned. And, you know, I'm going through some of these things myself, and I'm having to deal with it. But I've had to get people around me that instead of just yes to everything, you need to get people that are different than you, people that will stand up and tell you if they disagree. Now, there still needs to be a respect and an honor, and I'm not saying you just encourage chaos. But at the same time, you need people around you that are different. One of the biggest mistakes that people make is that when they select people to be on their staff, they pick people that are just like them. And what that does, that will double your strengths and it'll also double your weaknesses because they will tend to have the same blind spots that you do. You need people around you who are different. And when people around you are different, there's going to be some friction. There's going to be times that you butt heads and that you don't agree on things. But it actually makes you stronger if you can love each other and learn to cooperate and get along. See, I learned all of these things through David. There's management styles right here. He was very good in some ways. He inspired people. He motivated people to get behind him, to stand with him. There was these three guys. At one time, he was being persecuted and pursued by Saul. And David just made this statement, "Oh, that I had water from the well in Bethlehem," because they were cut off from there. And these three men put their lives at risk and broke through the enemy lines and brought David back a cup of water from that well. And you know what? It's wonderful to have people that are committed to you. But at the same time, you need some people around you that won't help you do the things that David did, some of the evil things. So there's a balance between all this. You can learn about the leadership skills of King David. You know, a good friend of mine, Bob Yandian, has a book out on leadership taken from the life of David, and that's a whole nother teaching. But you can learn things from David. You can see things that he did good. You can see things that he did bad, especially in this military area. There were some great decisions. He had some people around him that were very good soldiers, but at the same time, these people caused him a lot of misery, and David would not stand up to him. In a sense, he was held hostage by Joab, and that was not good. So in the sixth chapter of Samuel, I'm running short of time again. Man, I'm trying to hurry through this, but I've learned something from every single one of these instances. The sixth chapter of 2 Samuel is where David brought the Ark of the Covenant in. And he had set a tent for it, and he wanted the Ark of the Covenant, which, you know, contained the Ten Commandments. It contained the scrolls that Moses had written. It would be symbolic of the Word of God for us today. And he wanted to honor the Word of God and give it a place. And he brought it up, but he didn't do it the proper way. There is a right and a wrong way to serve God. Just because you mean well doesn't mean that everything works right. You know, you could drink poison and think it's water, and you could be sincere, but you could be sincerely dead. One of the lessons you can learn from David is that he didn't bring the ark up the way that God had prescribed, and because of it, a man named Uzzah died. And David, for a while, was bothered by this. Eventually, he was able to overcome it. I'm out of time today. I got to quit, but next week we will continue to talk about this.
Are you satisfied with your life? Is it time for a change? Are you ready to discover God's purpose for you and how He wants to use you to change the world? Go to charisbiblecollege.org to discover 5 ways to change your life with Charis Bible College. Day school, night school, extension schools, online school, and correspondence school. Since 1994, Charis Bible College has been in the business of changing lives, and changing the lives of students from ages 18 to 88. Now at Charis Bible College, you'll discover your gifting and purpose. You'll become equipped with practical knowledge and firsthand ministry experience, and be transformed by the almost too good to be true news of God's unconditional love and grace. Day students enjoy direct interaction with staff and faculty as well as guest instructors in a live classroom setting, while night school students participate in live and DVD instruction in a more intimate setting. Now, if you can't attend classes at our main campus in Woodland Park, don't despair. You can still attend Charis Bible College at any one of our many extension schools located literally around the world. Go to charisbiblecollege.org to find a location near you. perhaps online school is more suited to your schedule or location. Well, learn in the comfort of your own home, workplace, or even your local coffee shop, working with a Charis Bible College online facilitator. If you don't have computer or access to the internet, you can take advantage of our Charis Bible College correspondence classes. Begin when you're ready and study at your own pace. 5 ways to change your life. Check us out at charisbiblecollege.org and enroll today. Or call us at 719-635-1111. And again, go to charisbiblecollege.org right now to change your life and change the world. Andrew's complete teaching titled Lessons from David is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. It's also available in a brand new companion study guide that's perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. Not only is the entire teaching included in the study guide, you can also print off as many copies as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CD. This valuable resource is available for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get Lessons from David on either CD or DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is titled The School of Hard Knocks. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of April, he'll be at Detroit, Michigan, and in Chicago, Illinois. In May, he'll be in the Netherlands. And in July, he'll be in Durham, North Carolina, Washington, D.C., and in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.